this week on the Nervous Record.
Yeah.
Have you ever been stalked before or lightly stalked?
What is lightly stalked?
I mean, somebody following you to see which car you're going to get into so they can have your parking space when you leave.
I'm Amanda Sox, and you're listening to The Nervous Record, where each week I talk to the girl from my high school that was institutionalized about how she's doing 15 years later.
What is that?
Should we record me eating food?
That usually makes us laugh.
That's usually what's happening, regardless of whether or not
it's funny.
Brings
over wings. That is.
One thing I will warn you about is a lot of people have misophonia, so you could maybe refrain from eating.
What's misophonia?
Misophonia is this weird neurological thing. I knew somebody who had it. I've had a tinge of it, but it's body sounds, especially with eating and breathing, to trigger something in people, the most docile people in the world, for whatever reason, he causes people to fly into a rage. I mean, there have been people murdered because they heard their husband eating, and those sounds just trigger something.
But I don't want them listening to our podcast. I don't want them listening to our podcast. If they're going to get murdery about it, then I don't want them listening to our podcast because I just want to eat my damn food. What did you call it? Nymphophobia?
No, that's a weird sex thing with small people.
Oh, yeah, like a wood nymph. Okay.
Nope, not like that either.
Okay, so, I will refrain from eating my food. I don't want you to get murdered by mistake.
Yeah, the people are obviously going to murder you directly. What?
Just then, when you put that sock on the microphone, it looked like a condom.
It's a pair of black tights. I don't know what you're using for condoms, but you need to get real condom.
It was like kind of hanging down at the bottom. Do you know what I'm saying now? Like,
I also tied it in a knot.
You
so
tied
that
it
image
weird.
Is really confusing.
It's just like, it was just, it reminded me of, remember that fucking time that you sent me to the drugstore to buy condoms? Extra large, unlubricated condoms for the Baptist Church production of the Sanders Family Christmas, because that's what had to be put over the microphone. PAX? Was that it?
Well, here's the thing. You tell me to do, like, a Christmas play at a Baptist church, and I immediately go into, like, costuming for musical theater. And so I'm like, well, they need mic belts, which they did.
Yeah.
They didn't have places to clip them.
Yeah.
They were moving around.
Yeah.
So I made
mic
belts.
Did they move around? I feel like they... Did they?
They were told to stay still and read their lines.
They were like, let's not muddy this with movement and stuff.
Just say the words. Please, God, just say the words.
Just say some words.
Say a word. But, like, when you're dancing and you have a mic pack on the mic belt, the sweat would ruin the mic pack. And so you put it in a condom.
Unlubricated
condom.
Extra large.
Yeah, because you gotta fit a mic pack in it.
Well, it's just
mic pack is a euphemism for penis, I'm pretty sure.
Mic pack? Look what that mic is packing. But it was just such a weird... It's because it was so specific, and it was a really hard combination to find. And I'm like the least comfortable person. It's like, in a way, it was probably, I was the most appropriate person to do that, and also the least comfortable person doing that. It took me forever to find the condoms that were non-lubricated and extra large. Thank God nobody came up and tried to help me. because I mean, I was standing, I was, you know, I do really poorly when I'm given like a lot of options. I do terribly at like the grocery store and stuff like that. Like the cereal aisle, I just feel like lambasted with colors and I can't process it.
You have like premium organic version.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And like, then you got the generic.
I know. I'm like, I hate this. I hate menus. I can't look at menus for that reason. It's just too much information. And so I'm like standing there in front of the condoms and I'm trying to process the information of like the multiple rows of condoms in varying size and lubrication, but I mean it was taking me forever. Mm-hmm. So if to another person it probably seemed like, man, she's really sussing out her options here. Yeah, on
she
these
she wants to make sure that she and her man are happy.
But then it's so funny because like things just come full circle in life, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Because when I checked out, as I was walking to the checkout,
let's unwrap these and then keep talking. I don't want to screw this up. We're professionals now.
But this is part of the story. These are part of the story. Because...
can you guess what this is? Does it sound like foil or paper? Guess what? It's both.
Oh, I put the paper in my mouth. Oh, that went badly. She distracted me. I can't do anything right. On my way out, the bags of candy cane kisses like right by the register at the Holidays. So I just like grabbed it. And I was thinking like, you know, this girl who's checking me out was thinking, she's got a fun night ahead of her. She's got her.
She's allergic to lubricant, and, but wants to not get pregnant. So Nate said that the sound of eating or bodily noises like eating made some people go into a murder rage, and it had an official name to it, like fear of, no, it was like a phobia, but...
Miftophobia.
I just don't want to get miffed about anything. Other people eating, breathing, slobbering.
I do you think about how you're gonna die?
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I think more about like how I'm going to be attacked. Oh my God, you terrible person.
How are you going to be attacked, Amanda?
Why is that so funny? You need to say it without laughing. No, let's talk more about death.
Yeah, how are you going to be attacked?
It's usually home invasion of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
Or being stalked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Have you ever been stalked before or lightly stalked?
What is lightly stalked?
I mean, somebody following you to see which car you're going to get into so they can have your parking space when you leave.
No, I've never been out. Not that I know of. My default... when I'm anxious or with people that I don't know, is not to just like be okay being an introvert, but it's to go extreme extrovert. And mm-hmm. I'm just like super outgoing and kind, and like crazy usually rolls off my back, probably because mm-hmm. of all my training with you.
Thanks.
You're welcome. But I have been afraid that like I'm sending people the wrong idea, or that they seem like a little too attached to me. I'm like, no, how close do you think we are, you know?
Yeah, it gives a false sense of kinship.
Yeah, which in my mind, of course, the danger there is that they're going to, like, think that I'm theirs and stalk me and kill me.
I mean, you know you're mine, right? Just making sure. I mean, we've put this in a padded soundproof room. No one can hear your screams.
No.
Have you thought this really through, Amanda?
I'm not.
The girl who was institutionalized. Let's catch up and see how she's doing 15 years later. That would be such a funny twist ending if I killed you because you were making food sounds.
You brought the food.
Charles Manson died today.
I'm sorry, but is it funny? I don't know. The segue is funny. This is terrible. I'm just like talking about my fears.
No, do it. Do you think I'm gonna get locked up? Do you think, like, you know, my mental health could, like, take a turn again?
I think you're way more balanced. I mean, I think you are always going to be quirky. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. It's so funny they let me write for a wellness publication.
Yes. But people want to hear it.
Everybody, when they would read my articles, would say, they're just so relatable. Mm-hmm. And that always boggled my mind because I was like, why have I felt alone for 15 years?
Right. Why?
You know, where are all you people? They're not just like lining up at the door to relate to me.
Mm-hmm.
I've always felt like an other.
Mm-hmm.
But then it was like everybody was saying, it's so relatable. Like, everybody feels like an other.
Apparently.
I was talking with somebody about the other day, two of my friends in the car, and we were talking about how it is we thought we might die. And it seems like such a quirky or, like, maybe stupid, frivolous question, because obviously nobody has any idea. But I have no idea, and it's unsettling to me because I'm not moored to anything. I don't know anything about my future right now. It could go so many different directions. I don't have a family that I'm raising. Like, I have nothing that's a constant.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? The constant? There's the constant and the variables. It just feels like it's all variable.
Which would lead me to say the only thing that's constant is change.
Steven immediately goes, it will be some kind of fluke. Like, I drop something out of my purse and I, like, go to reach down and get it and, like, topple into a canyon. Something like that.
Oh my God.
You know?
No, I don't think you're gonna die from some fluke accident. You've lived through too many things at this point, you know? Like,
I know.
That's right? Just the theme of your life. I think you were gonna be like a kooky old lady.
Oh,
kooky
no.
In a cute way. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I think you're gonna be more grounded, but, like, man.
Maybe over time I'll get some, like,
old lady Leah
gravitas to go with.
Yeah,
it.
Exactly. You're definitely gonna gain gravitas.
Like, right. I wanna be like Carrie Fisher.
Yeah.
You think I could be like Carrie Fisher?
Yeah, but less drugs.
Mm.
No, I mean, well. As needed.
G-Mom just laughed, just laughed at me.
Cookie old lady.
I
think I'm gonna, if I don't die of some complication from my disease, I think I'm gonna live till I'm like 100.
God, I'm sorry. There's nothing that sounds worse to me.
I know. But I'm just gonna be funny as hell. And then I'm just going to, like, let all my secrets fly.
Yeah.
And people are going to be like, gross, grandma. That's disgusting, you know?
No,
like,
don't say gross stuff as a grandma. I've got a gross grandma. It's not any fun. Okay. I guess gross in a different way. Like, Grandma Joyce came to Christmas a couple years ago wearing a red lace top with no bra.
No, I'm pretty much already giving up bras,
like,
and I'm only 32.
This was, like, nipples out, two eggs, sunny side up. I don't even want to say sunny side. They're not even two eggs sunny side up. I mean, because she's like an old lady.
I'm not going to. Yeah, they're way down. Not
yeah.
Up. But I want to, like, save some stories when I'm super old.
Mm-hmm.
To be like, oh, yeah, I did that or whatever. And they'd be like, what?
You're going to keep them in the safe until you're old?
Yeah.
Ooh, I mean, that's really what I experienced with G-Mom. She was 104 when she passed away a couple years ago in her home, like, was determined she was going to live in her home. And mm-hmm. she said, they will carry me out of here feet first.
Mm-hmm.
She put on her lipstick every night before she went to bed in case she died in the middle of the night, she didn't want to be caught without her lipstick on. She was
How many years was she doing
the
that?
The prissiest lady. One day I went and I just started asking her all kinds of questions about her childhood and stuff. Found out all of this stuff. Like, she was runner-up in the 4-H club's healthiest girl in Mississippi. But she was runner-up because she had a filling. And it's so funny because whoever it is that didn't have a filling that's like the healthiest person in Mississippi or whatever, like, surely they've been dead for 25 years. Right. She's like beyond outlived them. Totally one-upped them. I laugh so hard because she was so funny without trying to be.
See, I hope you say she's like funny, but by accident, you mm-hmm. know, like, I feel like I'm that way now. And so can you imagine what 70 years?
We're hilarious.
I mean, are we the only two that think so, though?
Might be the only funny people in the world.
So I'm gonna tell you something that I kind of thinking about the otherness, and apparently there's this whole community of people who say they relate, but I have never found them. Like, I found...
Really? Did a moth die in your ear?
What?
Relatable. That they would relate.
But what did you say? Moth?
Die in your ear?
Moth die in your ear. I thought that you couldn't pronounce Diane Sawyer's name.
Why the hell would I bring up Diane Sawyer?
I thought moth podcast, because there's a moth podcast, isn't there?
Leah.
It was so weird what my brain just did. People say to me, and that's relatable. I can't even relate to myself half of the time. What the fuck did you just think? What just happened in your brain? This otherness, this profound aloneness was not was probably never so evident to me as a while ago when we were moving and I was packing or unpacking. I saved, like we've talked about, I've saved like everything from forever. Mm-hmm. A big box of stuff from 8th grade. Because that was the year that, like, when we learned Greek and Latin roots and about the Holocaust. So, like, it was a very exciting year. And I found my yearbook.
Go on.
And I think you know half of this story, but you don't know the second half.
Okay.
So, I moved. I lived in Cincinnati for a year between living in Chicago and Greenville. Mm-hmm. So I was in Chicago until I was in 7th grade. And then 8th grade, we moved to Cincinnati for a one and done year for my dad for a project.
Yeah.
And then moved on to Greenville. So I had my yearbook from 7th grade from Madison Junior High School in Chicago, Illinois. And Naperville, Illinois. And but nobody had signed it because, like, I had literally, like, one friend, Gelsey.
Gelsey?
Uh-huh. G-E-L-S-E-Y. Hi, Gelsey. Gelsey ended up abandoning me after 5th grade to go to the school for the gifted and talented.
Oh, what a terrible person.
So, like, I totally lost my human in terms of in those school hours. Gelsey and I, we were solid, you know, weekends and stuff like that. And the rest of the time, I just wanted to be at the piano writing my songs. And
I'm so sorry to laugh at you for that.
I just didn't care to be around, really. No, that's not true. I just wasn't around many people because I wasn't cool or popular so then it's like moving to Cincinnati, new school, fresh start, you know? And I think in my brain, hey, I have this empty yearbook. I could take it with me to Hopewell Junior High School in Cincinnati, Ohio. Westchester, Ohio. I can take it with me and then I can show everybody how popular I was because of all the signatures in my book. I think you've maybe know up to that extent. So I forged a whole entire yearbook worth of signatures.
Also, just the fact that you would like show up at a new school with a yearbook from another school. Like everybody takes their yearbook home and leaves it at home for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, except for then also when I'm 32, I start taking that same yearbook around to places to show people because I'm so floored by it. I forged an entire yearbook worth of signatures as celebrities.
That'll show them. They're going to love me now.
Oh, so I, and all of the signatures were some kind of play on that person's, actor's, you know, work or something like that. So,
oh, nice.
So I don't think I've ever read to you some of these yearbook signatures. I've got, screenshots of them, money shots of them in here, and
is that what it's called?
I want to repurpose money shots. I want to take back money shots, as
reclaim it.
Yeah. Okay. So one of them. Let's see. Leah, that boy is mine. Heart, Brandy.
Oh my God.
That thing you do amazes me. Tom Hanks.
Oh my God.
They should call you good Leah Wyman. Matt Damon.
Oh, that was terrible.
If you were half black, I would have an affair with you. Derek Jeter.
Spit everywhere.
What the hell, Amanda? Like, what the hell? Even though I'm almost as old as your mom, I still really dig you, Burt Reynolds.
What? Burt Reynolds, I knew your...
Why did I know Burt Reynolds as a seventh grader? So, I wish I had her talent, Celine Dion. I don't have a picture of it here, but I remember it was something about, like, I'm casting Jurassic Park 3, and I wanted to know if your mom was available, but all the human roles were taken, if you catch my drift, from Spielberg. Like, burn on my mom.
Oh, my
like,
God.
Yeah, I know. Oh. Then I kind of started to digress from the, you know, puns and sort of, you know, play on words having to do with that person's, you know, canon, and just started just with open prose. So, like, dearest Leah, you light up my life and fill my heart with gladness. God bless this earth by putting you on this earth. You are a fragrant flower in a garden full of weeds. Yours truly, Leonardo DiCaprio.
And he would write a romantic message.
My favorite one.
Okay, go for it.
Leah, I tried to commit suicide. I was so sad. I sat in the garage with the door shut, with the engine running. Love, your suicidally depressed friend, Alec Baldwin. You're definitely a little more worried that I'm going to attack you now, right? You're like, no, she's unbalanced. She's unhinged.
I mean, this was seventh grade. This was closer. So you were 12. Yeah, I met you when you were 15. Like, come on. This is how I remember you.
That, I mean, it cannot have been, you know, the thing that was so sad, though, like that, I look back at that now and I think, like, you're Leah, you genius. Like, that's so funny to me. I wish I could go back to eighth grade Leah and be like, this creative, like, just, you're just so weird, but it's mm-hmm. like, it's not a bad thing, you yeah. know? And the parts where I had signed it all as actual students, like from the school, mm-hmm. and I look back at that now, and it's kind of bittersweet. I mean, most of it did not make sense. Like, you know, we'll miss the margarita mixers. Love Sean Munsey, and like, you know, I was a seventh grader, so. But I, you know, you'd think I would like have learned my lesson when that did not gain me a ton of friends in Cincinnati. Like, mm-hmm. go with, you know, just, you're moving again now, starting over again. This time, you can just, like, be yourself, mm-hmm. you know? That was a mm-mm. not going to work at all.
No, because 1998.
In 1998, coming back to Greenville High School, all these kids that I, you know, because I lived in Greenville until I was through kindergarten. So these are the kids, the Augusta Road kids, like literally I've just come full circle and they've all been here the whole time. So they're like extremely cliquish. They've grown up together. They have their names like, you know, Braden and Chase and Rembert and, you know,
Rembert.
Rembert is actually a real name of a human.
That's
T and Tad, and you know, all the girls are named like
T.
Schaefer or Hunter girl. But like they, you know, I didn't fit into that mold, but I really wanted to. And I remember, so I made up all this stuff again. It wasn't celebrities this time. It was that I had an Italian boyfriend. And I wrote,
I'm so sorry.
I'm pretty sure his name was Rodolfo. I'm pretty sure his name was Rodolfo, and I know that I wrote out a handwritten letter, love letter in Italian.
Oh my God.
To myself and took it to the school.
Not that this has anything to do with Italian, but like I kind of see you copying or modeling your fake boyfriend off of Balky. And just like using all of the facts you know about Balky.
But yeah, I have a handwritten Italian letter, and I bought an Italian English dictionary. I remember it was half orange and half white on the cover, and took it in with my letter, and it was like, oh, you know, gotta translate this letter out from Rodolfo. You know, it's like our love transcends language.
Oh my God.
You know, we see each other when my dad flies us back and forth to Italy for the, you know, for the weekends, like on his private jet, you know, and just like it just keeps coming out. Well, the problem here is that also my cousins go to the same school.
Oh my God.
So there's people to corroborate the fact that none of what she's saying is actually real. I had a thing for Jude Law in my eighth grade. I found a Manila folder, is that what you call them?
Mm-hmm.
A file folder?
Yeah.
Yeah. Full of printouts of from the printer of pictures of Jude Law from like Encarta, you know, like the old encyclopedias, yes. Yeah. And I made a file, Jude Law file. So Jude Law, if you're out there,
who makes,
I'm gonna murder you.
Next time on The Nervous Record.
You're like Aaron Brockovich. You're like folksy and sassy, telling people what's in the water. But
wearing mini skirts,
showing a little too much cleavage, but getting the job done.
What the hell?
If you want to follow us online, you can find us on Twitter at Nervous Record, or you can follow us on Instagram at The Nervous Record, or you can like our Facebook page at The Nervous Record. And most importantly, you can throw us some money at patreon.com/The Nervous Record. We got to pay our producer somehow.